Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. It is Saturday morning. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, as we flow into our program, we invite you to come in and join us as we engage with today's guest in a conversation which explores the telling of a story in the release of a new dance film. My guest today has been known to say the following: "It starts with you. Love yourself. Trust yourself." Coming up on the show, Brittany Habib, founder and head coach of Girl Powered, is in the house. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Turnout Radio right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Brittany Habib, creative artist, producer, director, storyteller, dancer, and filmmaker, created Girl Powered, a gymnastics and dance program meant to build the self-esteem and self-love for young girls who identify as Black. This nonprofit is successfully in its 10th year, now offering competitive programming. And Brittany is one of Canada's top national gymnastics coaches. She has traveled internationally as a celebrity coach and has facilitated numerous workshops as a coach and as a choreographer. Her film, Finding Me, will be released Thursday, May 29th, 2025, at the Royal Theatre in Toronto. Brittany joins me now. Welcome to Turnout Radio. Brittany, how are you doing?
Thank you, Nicole. I am doing so well, and I'm so grateful to be here with you today.
Well, what a pleasure it is to share space with you as well. I fondly remember our first conversation on the show, where we had an opportunity to engage and explore your journey in great detail. And so I look forward to having time with you again today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to sharing my journey and seeing where this beautiful path leads us.
Indeed. Well, how have you been since our last time in conversation?
You know what? I've been really great. I'm a very calm person, and I love peace. So I always try my best to find that balance of work, balance, play, self-care. And I think I do a pretty good job of that. I feel very grounded. And I'm really happy with what I'm becoming.
I'm considering the many pathways of what it means to preserve and protect peace. And so, Brittany, when you talk about your own balances, how do you strive towards cultivating peace? And what does the protection of it look like to you?
For me, that looks like listening to myself. I have pretty good body awareness and I listen to my needs. You know, if I need to take a breather and go outside, I go outside. If I feel like, hey, I need to do something creative and paint, I'll paint. Really listening to self and giving myself what I need. That to me is peace.
Beautiful. Well, it leads me, Brittany, into something that I shared at the top of the program. Mm-hmm. And it is with reference to your favorite saying, which is the following. It starts with you. Love yourself. Trust yourself. Mm-hmm. In what ways do those reminders resonate with you?
I live by that. You know, and as I've truly started becoming myself and loving myself, that's what I've been using to keep myself grounded. And being grounded to me is what leads to calmness and peace. And when I hear those words, when I write those words, I write every single day. That's probably something else that helps keep me grounded and keeps my peace. I write those words for myself all the time. And there's something very powerful in those words that are just these little reminders for allowing myself to be true to who I am.
Is the writing with respect to journaling?
Yeah, it's respect to journaling. It's respect to my work. It's respect to ideas. Anything that comes to mind, I write.
Have you found that in the practice of journaling, that it may have potentially developed other areas or sources of care practice?
I believe so. You know, I think that with my journaling, it unlocked different forms of creativity because from my journaling, it kind of stemmed into starting to write poetry and then saying it out loud to spoken word. So I think to me, that's also been a beautiful step that I didn't know would come from that.
I really enjoy the practice of journaling. I've found that when I revisit the pages of past entries in my journal and I reflect upon what I'd written, it creates this space for me to review the decisions that I've made and the paths that I chose. And in doing so, the revisit allows for a deeper sense of gratitude and appreciation for the journey.
Definitely. I love that you said that because that's actually something that I do myself, you know, going back to 2012 and reading something and seeing where I was at that point in time of my life. I think that there's this aspect of reflection, you know, and being able to see yourself years back to where you are now and do a comparison and love it and see the growth. For me, that has been a really beautiful thing with journaling.
Yes. In that respect, what have you witnessed over the years as you reflect on those pages?
I will definitely start with so much growth. There's definitely a time where, you know, I was trying to understand myself, trying to love myself. And I feel like in the past, when I was doing a lot of journaling, I mean, 10, 12, 15 years ago, there was a lot of questions being asked. Whereas when I journal now, it's so content and there's so much pride with who I am and so much self-affirming messages that I write, like, it starts with you. Love yourself, trust yourself, you know, putting more of those reminders in there because I so love who I've become today. And so for me, there's been a very big difference of seeing that growth.
What a powerful sentiment. I love who I've become today.
Thank you.
Absolutely powerful. Has the awareness of loving who you have become opened the doors to thinking about the types of themes that you wish to address in your practices?
For me, this journey of loving myself has unleashed so much of the messages that I want to share and that I am starting to share, that I'm going to continue to share. Because for me, there's this acknowledgement of everything that I've become. Now I'm able to not have any shame and not have any fear to share very important messages. And some of these messages are, you know, regarding Blackness. You know, I love being Black and I love standing up for Black justice, and anything to do with racism and discrimination is something that's very powerful to me. It's powerful to me because of my life's journey, you know, being an elite athlete with Gymnastics Canada and experiencing so much racism and discrimination. That is something that's very dear to my heart, and also different forms of abuse. So a lot of the messages and my art, it takes on this direction of touching these topics because all of these things are a part of me.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Brittany, your journey in gymnastics began at 19 months old. Can you share some context about your emergence into gymnastics and perhaps even how your career in gymnastics has informed and worked in relationship with your career in dance?
Absolutely. 19 months old is true. You know, my mother loved gymnastics as a child. As soon as I started walking, I was in a gym. And I was just blessed. You know, I just remember my mother telling me stories, this little three-year-old and five-year-old in the gym just flipping and doing cartwheels fast, like just all over the floor. And so with that, you know, we kept pursuing and we kept pushing. And I kind of just started continuing to go up that ladder. And it definitely was not an easy journey. Gymnastics being a primarily Caucasian dominated sport, always being the only little Black girl. I never knew what racism or discrimination was as a young girl, but I knew I was different and it felt odd, you know, always getting singled out and you know, you go over there, the rest of the team stays here. So that felt very uncomfortable, but the talent just kept pushing. And so with that, I was able to, you know, get onto the national team for Canada, and I was an elite athlete for Canada, traveled internationally, medaled internationally, been to the world championships. There are some accolades that come with being an elite athlete. And while it was not the easiest journey, I'm so grateful for who it's made me become, because in turn, I've been able to now come out of gymnastics and become this dancer and be able to share my story and to move with that experience that I had as a gymnast.
Were there supportive measures that were there to work alongside of you as you headed the course throughout your gymnastics career?
I would definitely say my parents were very helpful and integral to helping me stay grounded. But the reality, Nicole, is within the gymnastics industry, technical directors, head coach of Canada, the majority of my training is with my coaches, and I'm traveling around the world. So training 35, 40 hours a week, my parents aren't in the gym, right? So all of the mentors and supporters within the Gymnastics Canada realm, no, there was not any support. And it was very difficult and very challenging to, first of all, not have a voice. And if I tried to have a voice, to not be heard. And that was very, very hard as a young girl growing up who's, you know, trying to become something of herself.
And you had a strong response to those experiences by creating Girl Powered, a gymnastics and dance program meant to build the self-esteem and self-love for young girls who identify as Black. And so can you talk about the emergence of the organization? And in particular, what are some of the practices that you have put in place to ensure a journey that is both meaningful and protective in nature for the artists that are joining your programming?
Definitely. Girl Powered is a space created for young Black girls to flourish. And essentially, I knew I've always wanted to create a hub for Black girls based off of my negative experience to give them that positive experience. I know exactly what is needed. I know all of their needs. And it was imperative for me to create a space where there are Black coaches, Black elders, Black instructors, everything, so that young Black girls can see people that look like them, so they can feel like, hey, I can do this too. So I've truly implemented an entire holistic method in coaching. While it's gymnastics and while it's dance, and yes, while the technical training is phenomenal, we include journal writing so that they have that mental training and they can talk about how they feel. We make sure we ensure a lot of cultural elements. So when they're dancing, they're understanding their culture in a different way. All of these aspects so that they feel safe, so that they feel comfortable, so that they can become their best selves.
And some of that programming, Brittany, has also included the new competitive gymnastics program that I mentioned at the top of the show. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. And that, Nicole, has been such a dream of mine, was to have a competitive team. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of persistence. It took a lot of resilience, because a lot of people didn't see the worth in having a Black gymnastics club. And there's so much pride I have. We are the only Black gymnastics club in all of Canada. So to be able to have this competitive side now where I can take girls to the Olympics, where I can travel internationally with these girls, and where they can feel safe when they're traveling and have the support that I didn't have.
What was at the forefront of your mind as you were building the vision and the mission of Girl Powered?
The first and foremost thing that I would say is understanding Blackness. Something as simple as accepting natural hair. You know, you don't have to have the straight hair slicked back in a bun. Understanding how to coach Black athletes. Understanding Black bodies, how to condition them, how to train them. And so implementing all of those factors is a bit of the factors that I include in my training methods.
And there have been some impressive partners that have worked alongside Girl Power to ensure that you are being supported in the mandate that you have put in place. Can you talk about some of those partners?
Yes, absolutely. We have some beautiful community partners and also beautiful elders and instructors. You know, our lead West African instructor is Dede, and he's been a part of our team, I would say, from inception. So it's not just me leading. I'm bringing in outstanding dance instructors and leaders in the community. You know, Sekou, who is an elder that is a master drum maker, has come in and done drum circles for my girls. So it's been a journey that we have that support, and where I'm able to call on outstanding professionals to come in that understands the vision and that supports the movement.
What are your hopes for those who are taking part?
It's about building young Black girls who love themselves, who know themselves, and who will become young Black women who understand themselves. And that's the mandate. That's what this is really creating. Yes, we do gymnastics, and yes, we do dance, but ultimately it's building young Black girls who understand themselves and who will become young Black women to flourish in this world. Gymnastics is such a beautiful sport because there are so many elements to it. And it's not just the gymnastics that's going to make someone an amazing athlete. Understanding your body, because we can talk about bodies in general, but it's very different to understand your body. And so we're teaching these young Black girls to understand themselves. You know, what does my body need? What are some food choices that works better for my body? So we always do these check-ins with these girls so that they can start to understand themselves. In my experience, it felt like I was always being put in a box. Okay, well, this is what you need to eat, and everyone's going to need to go through this pattern. And we like to shift that narrative. Everyone is an individual. And it's just really amazing and beautiful to see young girls really understand that concept and really understand themselves as an individual. And that's really our goal. Another beautiful aspect of Girl Powered is that we take these lovely girls on a camping trip. And because I keep saying that this is a hub that's more than just gymnastics, this camping trip is so impactful. We bring different artists there, and it's just a schedule of visual art, singing, songwriting. They're away in nature. There's no cars. There's no streetlights. And they do meditation and journal writing. And it's a week where everything that I'm emphasizing, we're doing on a campus, away from everyone. And just the growth that I see within these girls over that week is phenomenal. And it's a very powerful week, and it's something that we look forward to every single year. I mean, it's a huge team bonding event. You know, you're working with your friends in the studio or in the gym, but to go to a place that's in nature where they can access things that they've never really even thought of before. It's building that friendship. It's building that team element. All of the mentors and professionals are coming together. And what I love to hear is the professional artist saying, I think I needed this more than the girls did. You know, so to hear that even as artists, professionals, we're still growing, we're still learning, and we're getting so much out of these trips as well. So it's always beautiful to me when everybody on the team is winning. You know, everyone's growing, everyone's learning, and everyone's building together. And to me, that's the epiphany of community.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Brittany, on May 29th, you will be releasing the film Finding Me. Talk to us about the film and also the inspiration behind the conversations that are taking place in the work.
Mm-hmm. Finding Me feels like my baby. I've been working on this film for over 3 years now, and the fact that she's ready to be released is very exciting and a little bit nerve-wracking as it does go through my life. So this is a story of my life. A lot of people don't know that, you know, I've experienced different forms of racism, discrimination, different forms of abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, also mental abuse. And while this story is deep and dark and authentic, it's also so beautiful because it tells the story of how I came out of that and how I learned to truly love myself, find my joy, and become who I am today. So I'm very excited for this film.
During the course of this process, as you took time to revisit the stories that live within you, can you talk about how you prepared your spirit to engage in creating the film?
Definitely. You know, Nicole, this all started with therapy. I didn't even know I was going to do a film. It started with therapy, and during therapy, Pandora's box started opening, and I started speaking of things that have happened to me in the past, and it just felt like it couldn't stay there. And as a creative being, I thought, I need to do something with this. And I started journaling, and I started painting. I would paint what racism looked like to me, and I would put that on this canvas, and I would start creating art. And from then, I decided, you know what? It feels like I need to do something even bigger with this. If this was something I was suppressing for so many years, I wonder how many other people are suppressing different traumas and abuse that they've gone through. And so honestly, that was the biggest push for me to create this movie. And I wanted to help others. I wanted to inspire others. I wanted to let others know that it's okay. You're not the only one. Others have been through this, and there is a way out. And that's a very important message of this film, is that you can find yourself. It will get deep. It will get dark, but there is light. There's always light at the end of that tunnel. And so for me, with the process of this film and ensuring that I would be okay to create this film, it went through a lot of different processes. And while it started with the journal writing and the art, the next element that came to mind was sound. That was how it really, really started to come to life. There are essentially six different sections of this film, and it's racism and discrimination. It's being silenced and having no voice. It then goes to mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and then finding your joy. And for every single section, I worked with an audio sound engineer, and I would go into a studio with him and I'd create sound. You know, what does racism sound like? Duh, da, 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 da. And I would just create these beats and work with this audio engineer. And essentially, we created a soundtrack. And that was how this film really started, was putting these feelings into sound. And then from sound, naturally, movement came.
As you navigated the process, how did you curate your rehearsal space to support both you and the artists that you worked with?
It was a very, very, very intentional process that I took throughout this. Because I know what I've gone through and potentially what so many others have gone through as well, every single space that was created was sacred and safe. If I needed to have an emotional coach on hand, or a co-choreographer on hand, or somebody that can be the therapist for the day, I really invested in help. There was no way I was holding that space on my own. I hired individuals to come in and to hold that space for us. And while there are always timelines and everybody says, time is money, I never took that approach, Nicole. It was very, very integral for me to ensure that everybody on my team felt safe because, as I said, so many people are suppressing things that they've gone through. And that is honestly something that I experienced with creating this film. Different dancers or choreographers who have been abused in certain ways. And so it was navigating that as well and holding space to just talk. Some rehearsals were talking and releasing and breathing, right? So it was very, very intentional. And I think one of the biggest learning lessons I got throughout this film was the beauty of patience. Naturally a calm and grounded person, but curating the spaces that I did for this film, it felt so safe. And I'm really, really grateful that every single person on my team felt that safety as well, because that was my goal.
And what a profound importance it is, Brittany, to ensure that when conversations such as these are being addressed in any nature, that individuals experience the safety of what they need and also experience the being held that you speak of.
Yes.
And so as you reflect on the process from then to now, the beginning stages of creation from 3 years ago to now, what sits with you as you reflect upon the process and the next steps of the film as it speaks these conversations to the masses?
Yes. Such a deep and beautiful question. I will start with coming out of this film. There's been so much growth, Nicole. I'm coming out of this film with, you know, a powerful director, a producer, someone that can hold space, someone that understands energy a little bit different. There are so many elements for myself where there's been so much growth, and that's been a really lovely thing. And in regards to my film, you know, obviously that release is coming up on May the 29th, and I'm so excited about that. What I see with this film is dancing live, you know, partnering with potential dance organizations like maybe Dance Immersion, and being able to do performances live on stage in front of people, and being able to continue the conversation of the different forms of abuse. I really want to encourage that educational aspect and that inspirational aspect of, it's okay, we will get through it. There is no shame. Love yourself, believe in yourself, and trust your journey, trust your path. I really want individuals to love themselves a little bit deeper and to appreciate everything that they've been through makes them who they are. And that's very important to me.
In those reflections, had there been any new discoveries for you as it pertains to your healing journey, your forward journey, and what you wish for Brittany?
I would definitely say, first and foremost, that growth of love for myself. These 3 years have allowed me to see myself in a different light. And that has been something that has been very powerful for me. And I just want to continue being my best self. And that's an evolving journey. And I recognize that. But with that, I just want to continue doing where I feel I sit best. And so I continue to push these boundaries. I continue to create. And I'll see where that takes me.
When you talk about pushing boundaries, what does that look like for you?
For me, that looks like doing things that makes me uncomfortable, doing things that scare me, doing things that make me feel a little bit uneasy. That's pushing my boundaries.
There were a number of individuals that were a part of the production, a part of the team. Can you talk about how they supported the forward motion of the work?
Definitely. It's been such a powerful journey. And I had a team of over 20 artists that came together and helped to create this film, you know, from videographer to photographer to digital storyteller. I mean, there's been so many powerful individuals, you know, co-choreographers. And I think it's really important to note how beautiful it can be when we come together and bring creativity together, when there's this strong vision and the support. For me, the support is how talented they are. You know, these individuals really come with their technical skills, and to come together and to create what we did, I just can't wait for everyone to see this final product.
And partake of it, they will. May 29th, 2025 is the date at the Royal Theater. That is a Thursday, 7 p.m. And Brittany, folks can access their tickets where?
Definitely. So there is an Eventbrite link. And if individuals would like more information on the film, they can check out the website, girlpowered.com. And there is a page, Finding Me, on there. And that's where you can get the information.
Wonderful. Well, Brittany, what a joy and a pleasure it's been to sit down and once again share space and time and conversation with you. Thank you so much for being a part of the episode today. And I'm looking forward to having another future conversation with you, and also to having the opportunity to witness Finding Me. Brittany, thank you again for joining me on today's broadcast.
Thank you, Nicole. I really appreciate you holding space for me and for helping me to share my story. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you as well. Thank you again, Brittany. Radio has partnered with Brittany Habib to give away one pair of tickets to the film screening of Finding Me. The 43-minute dance film navigates life through dark times, through trauma, and takes the audience through the journey of a young woman finding herself to finding her joy. The screening takes place May 29th, 2025 at 7 p.m. EST at the Royal Theatre, located at 608 College Street in Toronto. Be the first person to email Turnout Radio now for an opportunity to win one pair of tickets to attend. Email us now at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. That's turnoutradio@ciut.fm. The ticket winner will be notified on May 5th, 2025 via email. To learn more about the film screening of Finding Me, visit girlpowered.com. today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was the delightful Brittany Habib on the broadcast. Many thanks to Brittany for joining me today. To learn more about the work of Girl Powered and the film Finding Me, visit girlpowered.com. And folks, if you missed the top of the episode, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms, where this interview will soon be streaming. Our website is also where you can locate a library of our past episodes, resources, and more. We invite you to also email us. We'd love to connect with you. Connect with us at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. And this brings us to a close of today's broadcast. As always, I enjoyed spending time with you. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
Thank you.